right, folks. Welcome to a WTOP podcast, which we don't have a name for. That's sort of a theme that we have on the sports page. Rob Woodfork here with you, alongside Jason Fraley, our resident film critic, and introducing Noah Frank. Welcome aboard, my man.
Thank
he
you.
Still has the new car smell. He is our digital
That's what
editor.
That was.
Yeah.
I was wondering
yeah.
what that stench
yeah.
was.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not my shirt. In the corner.
Noah, a very valued addition to our sports staff, and he's been the driving force for what we've been doing on WTOP.com over the course of this last week. The best sports movies of all time, NCAA style. Tell us a little bit about the format and what we're doing with this.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're going to break down any sort of a sports vote, probably the best way to do it is in a bracket. So figured, let's go out, and initially we're looking at 32 movies. Well, we'll get the best 32 sports movies, and then as we started to compile the list, we realized 32 just was not going to cut it. So
Right. Went
to the full 64. The
March old, Madness, baby.
Right, the old school. No play-in games, no 68, none of that. But 64 was good enough. I would say the biggest struggle was how do we categorize these? How do we break them down? How do we seed everything? And figured out that probably the best way to do it was to give baseball its own region. It was a very strong region.
Bracket of death,
yeah.
Like the United States was in the World Cup?
Yeah, the baseball and I would say the other sort of movie bracket were probably the ones that had, at least on the top end, the strongest competitors. So yeah, you had your baseball bracket, you had your football bracket that got its own as a sport. We didn't really have enough boxing movies and basketball movies for either one of them to warrant their own, but there were too many of each for them to be just lumped into a general. So we did a basketball-boxing matchup, and it was actually kind of interesting to get into a minute how that sort of played itself mm-hmm. out. But then we had the other bracket, which was literally everything else, no more than three movies in any genre, a couple hockey movies, a couple golf movies, and then a really good smattering, I thought, of kind of across the board, no matter what your interests were. We covered most of the ground as well as we could with the remaining seeds. So that was your 64. It stayed pretty chalk through the regions. I was surprised, actually. Nothing lower than a 5 seed coming through into the Sweet 16. We had 3 of the 1 seeds made the Elite 8. And
none of them in the
but none
final
of them,
four.
None of the final four, yeah. A couple 2s, a 3, and a 4. So, but I mean, still generally the movies we expected to come through have come through.
Well, I guess that's a testament to your seeding, huh?
Yeah,
I guess you seeded it pretty well.
I guess it worked out. I was a little bit stressed about that. People, you know, enraged that something got a 12 seed when they thought it was the best.
Yeah. It's all subjective anyway.
White Men Can't Jump should have got higher than the 6, but
Pride of the Yankees should be higher than
me.
It shouldn't be the last seed in baseball if you ask me, but anyway.
But yeah, so I sort of put this out to you guys, and we had a survey of the newsroom, and a lot of people contributed their thoughts, but I figured this is a good setting to dive a little more into what makes a great sports movie. I mean, for you guys, what is the defining element? Because sports movies don't necessarily have to be the best acted films. Some of them are. And some of them have great acting. Yeah. A lot of them don't. A lot of them are cheesy.
And as we look at this bracket, you know, a lot of these movies are not very well acted.
Right. I tend to I gravitate to the ones that are the underdog stories, whether it's an individual like Rocky or Rudy, or whether it's a team like Hoosiers. Just because we all like to see that, you know, the rags to riches story. That never gets old. And then preferably in the case of Rocky with a little twist on it, you know, like maybe they do have an underdog thing, but they don't win the big championship in the end. I know they do in Hoosiers and it's great, but Rocky is an underdog story where you feel like he has proved his self-worth and triumphed and gone the distance, but he loses in the end. Or Rudy is, you know, it's an underdog story, but all he does is get on the field and gets a tackle. So it doesn't have to be, you know, the cliche thing. It can be a good underdog story with a little slight twist on the end where it's a personal win, I guess.
Yeah, and I was surprised Noah actually posted what I said makes a good sports movie, because all I listed was basketball, cursing, and sex, which is why I like White Men Can't Jump, because it has all of those things. And I actually spent an entire summer, now granted I was 13, but I watched it every day over the course of one summer. So that, to me, was a terrific sports movie. But I also like A League of Their Own, mm-hmm. Remember the Titans. Yeah. Obviously, those pull on the heartstrings a little bit. And at least in the case of Remember the Titans, much more serious tone, whereas League of Their Own was more Had more of a comedic value to it. I thought Tom Hanks was great in that movie. And
both dealing with cool social issues, too.
Exactly,
I mean, they're both funny,
exactly.
But Remember the Titans has a run through Gettysburg, right, and a Denzel speech on race relations. And,
right.
And at T.C. Williams integrating the school. And then A League of Their Own is, you know, women taking over and having their own league of their own.
Right, during the war. So great themes in those movies and well acted. And they're not necessarily tied together, I guess, in terms of... some of these other movies that have the comedic value, like Caddyshack.
Yeah. Well, and the underdog story obviously is a big part of a lot of these movies, especially a lot of the ones that have made it deep in our tournament. For me, I really, and maybe it's just working in sports and being around sports for most of my life, my professional life, but I really, really like a good sense of realism. When I feel like it's not real, I detach from the movie. I can't. Like, and even though Major League is goofy, it's not that unbelievable. I mean, there's some scenes that are a little over the top, but generally the way the sort of pennant race unfolds, the actual final game where it's a 2-2 game and, you know, they tie it up with a home run. It's good pitching performances. It's
right.
And then, you know.
It's a bunt. It's
right,
not
right,
a big, yeah.
Right, but it has a sense of authenticity. I'm an A's fan. I watched Ramon Hernandez walk off on a bunt in the playoffs in 2003.
Right.
So
no,
I've actually seen that, you know. It's
small ball realism.
Right,
yeah.
Well, and so... I don't know. There's certain ones that are just, they're too over the top for me, and that's why I talked about Bull Durham being my favorite sports movie of all time.
Great movie.
Why I ranked it number one in the baseball region, even though I thought Field of Dreams was probably going to beat it.
That's my number one.
but it has this sense of authenticity, not just on the field but off the field in the minor leagues, because the minor leagues are insane and stuff. You know, crazy stuff happens all the time, and I think it captured that in a way that when I was growing up, when I first saw it when I was a teenager, I appreciated sort of the humanity and realism of that. And then once I actually worked in the minor leagues, went, oh my God, this is actually what happens. This is actually how this is, and grew to appreciate it even more. And so, for me, that's just another element that, and I know that doesn't matter to everybody. I think if you're the less of a sports fan you are, probably the less that matters to you, the easier it is to accept sort of the fantasy world that's created for you within the construct.
The less you probably actually notice it, too. You know,
right,
I mean, it's probably not just accepting it, it's even noticing that it's off a little, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like...
And actually, that's another great mark of a great sports movie, is if it resonates with sports fans and also... Mm-hmm. Doesn't lose people who may not be fans of that sport. It's
and you could also
that's
take it, you could take it the other way. Does it capture non-sports fans, too?
Right.
Because, I mean, so many Field of Dreams fans love the father-son story or,
right,
you know, whatever, name any of these movies, you know, with Ryan Song fighting, overcoming the disease or whatever it is. Like, I think a good sports movie, and we mentioned Remember the Titans with the race and everything like
right,
that,
right,
is, does that backdrop add something to it? And if you can do both with the realism and that, then you're golden.
Absolutely.
So along those lines, what movies have done that to the point where you can call them your favorite or one of your favorite sports films? If I'm just asking you straight out, what's your favorite? Jason, I'll start with you.
It's tough. Three of the final four are actually three of my all-time favorites. I totally agree that Bull Durham's a great movie. I love it so much. But I've always been a huge Field of Dreams fan. It's more of a personal thing for me. I would personally give anything in the world to go back and play catch with my grandfather who passed away. So the end gets me misty-eyed every single time. And there's also just something nostalgic, but also just bizarrely cool of this concept of a player that in Shoeless Joe, who committed the ultimate sin, or at least is believed to, his team, the Black Sox scandal, of throwing the World Series, and he's kind of caught in this afterlife, almost purgatory in a cornfield, and through this magical ball diamond gets to work that out and maybe achieve the afterlife and disappear out in the corn. To me, and mix that in with the father-son stuff, I've always loved Field of Dreams.
Yeah. Let's see. I wanted Remember the Titans to go further. That's one of my favorites. A League of Their Own is also one of my favorites. My daughter loves that one, especially when the kid gets hit in the face with a glove. Remember that part?
You're gonna lose. And he chucks the glove out.
Yeah, yeah. She laughs at that like it's the first time every time. So that's obviously one that I enjoy a lot. We mentioned White Man Can't Jump for reasons that appeal to my sophomoric sense of humor. Anytime you can work some mama jokes into a movie, I feel like it's apropos.
Well, I mean, I mentioned Bull Durham. There's a couple others that were we had to fight in the paring down process. The toughest bracket to actually get together and get down to 16 was that other bracket, because there's so many movies that can find their way in there and on one level or another. And I really, one movie that I know you've seen, Jason, that a lot of people had not seen, and between the two of us, we said, no, this is not leaving this bracket, was Breaking Away, which
it's great.
Is a terrific yeah. movie. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend that you make some time to see it. I don't particularly care about cycling. I have no tie to the sport, but it's just a really, really good coming of age kind of story. And it's an underdog story. It's a blue collar story, the same way that a lot
the
of these are. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you remember things about it because, it sticks with you. And very young Dennis Quaid in that movie as one of the friends. It has all those elements that we're talking about. And, so I made sure it stayed
that
in the
scene
field.
The scene where he's cycling and racing the Mack truck down the highway, and the guy's is holding, helping monitor his speed. It's great.
Yeah.
I'm also a huge Rocky fan. We'll get to that when we get to the Final Four. But I also think the best directed. I mean, we talked about acting and screenwriting earlier, but to me, the best directed is Raging Bull. To me, hands down on this list in terms of just pure artistic filmmaking, like the stuff that Martin Scorsese did with his editor Thelma Schoonmaker in shooting those ring scenes are absolutely insane. There's flash bulbs popping, they're changing the speed, like it'll go into slow motion as he's sitting in the corner, and you can see like the bloody sponge dripping down his back or blood dripping off of the ropes, or there's like this vertigo effect right before Sugar Ray Robinson starts pounding Jake LaMotta, and Scorsese used the psycho shower stabbing scene as inspiration for that quick cutting montage. There's just so many cool things, my favorite of which is the long single take where the camera doesn't cut following De Niro out from the locker room. He's getting ready with Joe Pesci back there pounding the bag, and then he puts his robe on, and it follows him all the way out the locker room, out to the ring, and then cranes above the ring, and it's all done in one take, and it gives you that really a sense of what it would be like to be a fighter coming out. These are like things that are almost subconsciously done to the viewers, unless you're looking for them. You're not really realizing how it's affecting you, but go back and take a look at Raging Bull from a directing standpoint. Scorsese nails it.
Yeah, I feel like we see a lot of quick cuts and a lot of sort of traditional shooting in a lot of sports movies, a lot of slow-mo, artfully directed and in a way that you don't usually see in this genre.
And probably a little too depressing. That's why I didn't get through. Right. But, everyone likes to feel good based on this Final Four.
So let's talk about who we expected to get through, because I think this was an interesting measure of both what we thought were good sports movies and also what we thought other people thought were good sports movies.
Right.
You guys did a lot better than I did. I took a couple chances on my Final Four prediction. I thought, based on just knowledge of friends, that maybe we'd have a couple of upsets, maybe some other movies would get through. I didn't get any of them right. You guys both picked, actually, without realizing it, the same Final Four to get through.
Whoa.
And
get out of my head, Fraley.
you both got two of the Final Four correct. Which was Field of Dreams, as we've talked about, and Rocky, which we will get to in a minute. The other two both fell in very, very close votes, which was Remember the Titans, which lost to Rudy by, I believe it was 7 votes in the Elite Eight.
They're both so good.
Were there any hanging chads involved?
There was one that was even closer, which was Caddyshack fell to Miracle for the Final Four by just 4 votes.
Actually, Miracle really lived up to its name, because it knocked out the Karate Kid, the top seed, and knocked out Caddyshack, which I thought was going to come out of that bracket.
Yeah. I also had both of those films coming out. So, I mean, obviously, the Remember the Titans, Caddyshack both did very well. But what does this say now that we're looking at our Final Four? What does this say about how this whole thing sort of played out? Again, our Final Four, Field of Dreams out of baseball, Rudy out of football, Rocky from boxing, and Miracle from the other bracket. What does it say other than the fact that 3 of the 4 are single word titles?
Well, it looks to me like people like the underdog. This 3 out of the 4 are pretty much underdog stories.
Absolutely. So
it looks like America loves the underdog, which is probably something I guess we might have known going in, but I don't know that it would have applied necessarily to this bracket.
Yeah, to me, the first thing that pops out when I look at these four is how much Miracle does not deserve to be in the final four. It's a great movie. Don't get me wrong. It's a very fine flick. Good movie. Great inspirational true life tale. You know, you could put the actual real life event and say maybe it's the greatest sport event ever. But in terms of a movie, I mean, I feel like it kind of benefited from being in that other bracket. Like if say we shuffled all of these around and it wasn't by sports, I mean, it was cool to do that to see who would win each sport. But if we just did a blind seeding of everything, I feel like there's probably at least six or seven in the baseball bracket that would have easily knocked out Miracle. I mean, I think it would have fallen to Bull Durham, A League of Their Own, The Natural, Field of Dreams, maybe Moneyball, you know, Major League. A lot of those movies I think would have beat it if they were all, you know, the same in all shuffled brackets.
Right.
But I mean, it's still a great movie. I mean, I still think that I was hoping that Caddyshack would live up to its Bill Murray line and be the Cinderella story of the tournament.
Well, they were up against each other. Actually, I tweeted something out about how, you know, do you believe in Miracle or will this be a Cinderella story?
Perfect.
And it turned out to be our best matchup really in the entire tournament.
What did you guys think about maybe... was there any generational slant on this? Because we have evidence on both sides. Like, some older, really great older classic movies like Paul Newman's Slapshot and then North Dallas 40, which are, like, favorites from the 70s. They got knocked out by newer movies, Seabiscuit and We Are Marshall, early on. So, but just when you think that there's the age bias that way, The Sandlot loses to Bad News Bears. And The Sandlot is, from our generation, is like the gospel, man.
Love it.
So I think I was wondering about that. What you guys thought, how that played out.
So I have access, of course, to looking at the back end of how all the votes break down in terms of how many people are voting. And I can kind of see, you can't tell necessarily who votes across the board. But, you know, there wasn't any major drop off. It was pretty consistent. I'd say anyone who voted for in the first round, they about 90% made it all the way through with the vote. So I don't think that people were selectively, you know, choosing. Right. I think that it didn't necessarily depend on generation. Kind of like you were saying, we saw newer movies win. We saw older movies advance. It really didn't break down necessarily that way, which leads to the question of what were the motivating factors. It's funny you mentioned Sandlot and Bad News Bears because that's been the prevailing sentiment among a lot of people. But I saw the Bad News Bears first. I didn't see the Sandlot until I was older. Mm-hmm. It had no impact on my childhood. By the time I saw it, I was probably too old to really get into it.
So maybe that's why the first one you saw when you were the kid.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, I was born in 1982, and I saw Bad News Bears when I was pretty young, probably too young to see it, given some of the language and everything. But you know, I mean, it had a bigger impact on my childhood as a baseball movie than The Sandlot ever did. I think maybe it wasn't as commercially popular, at least not as you know, as we grew up, but I feel like it wasn't even that close of a vote, and it advanced.
Not really. Well, and if you wanna be totally historical, objective on total, just straight influence, Bad News Bears inspired all those kids' sports movies, The Sandlot and The Little Giants and Mighty Ducks and all that.
And we still say Bad News Bears in popular culture when like something goes bad or a team is terrible. Like,
that's
Bad News Bears. It's just used as a colloquialism. And I think,
and what was the name of the WTOP softball team this year?
We were the Breaking News Bears.
The Breaking News Bears, baby.
So it's still around.
There you go.
And Walter Matthau is hilarious in it. I mean, it's a great movie. I just, and maybe it's kind of like what you said, which one I saw first as a kid, but man, The Sandlot to me is not only lines like we quote, "You're killing me, Smalls," but just the whole, to me, The Sandlot is, I put it in that same category as A Christmas Story and Stand By Me and The Wonder Years, with that great nostalgic, like, 50s voiceover narration. And to me, I love The Sandlot, but you can't go wrong with Bad News Bears either.
All right, well, we can't look back anymore. We have to look forward. It's going to be football against baseball. So you've got Field of Dreams, like we said, from baseball, Rudy from football, Rocky coming out of the basketball boxing bracket, which, by the way, there were 7 first-round matchups between basketball movies and boxing movies in that bracket, and 6 of the 7 were won by boxing movies.
I think it's because basketball, I mean, I think boxing is such an easier, like, script to tell, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like you're alone in the ring by yourself. It's a lot of self-worth. It's like mano y mano. There's a handful of great boxing movies that I think a lot of them in different seedings could have gone a lot farther too.
Sure.
All right. So final four predictions, man.
Yeah. So, and again, Rocky and Miracle, the other half of the bracket. So, Rob, who do you see coming out of this thing?
it seems like Rudy's having a good run. So I think Rudy's going to advance facing Rocky. And I think Rocky delivers a TKO. Nice. See what I did there?
Nice pun. That's pretty good. I kind of like that concept of the Rocky, Rudy, the underdog. That would be a cool matchup. Rudy's so inspirational. You get goosebumps every time you watch that end. I think it's going to be Field of Dreams versus Rocky. We'll see how the vote plays out, but I think Rocky deserves to pummel Miracle because I just think it's a much better movie. And I think with Rocky too, not Rocky II, the sequel, but with Rocky also, I think Rocky, I feel like it almost gets, the sequels made it such a parody of itself where you almost take for granted that the first one was actually a really solid little movie. People hadn't seen anything like that done before. I mean, we have the training montages and eating the eggs and running the stairs in our brains, but it's, imagine seeing that the first time and none of that had ever been done before. And it's just also a really great love story too. Between Rocky and Adrian, and the final line of the movie is "I love you." It's not, and the winner is Rocky. It's yeah. You know, it's more a human intimate story. So I think I'm gonna go with Rocky and Field of Dreams, which are two of my favorites in this whole tournament. I think, yeah.
Yeah, I gotta go with Jay Frey probably on this one. I can't see Miracle continuing any farther. And just looking at the percentages, I mean, Rocky absolutely crushed Raging Bull. And yeah. It was the only one that was not at least relatively close in the Elite Eight votes. So, I think Field of Dreams, just based on the strength of the baseball bracket and it surviving some pretty good matchups with The Natural and Bull Durham the last couple
battle
rounds.
Battle tested.
Yeah. Well, you know, remember the Titans very nearly knocked Rudy out. I actually thought that might swing the other way just because of the local tie and T.C. Williams being right here in town. But I can't see a way in which Rocky doesn't end up winning this thing.
The whole thing.
Which I don't agree with.
I don't think any of us agrees with that. But
I'm fine with it. Of the three of us, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean,
it might not be the best of these, but I mean, it's the only one in this whole thing that won Best Picture. And to me, it's rare that you have a top grossing movie of a year also win Best Picture. Like, the whole Oscars versus box office rarely line up anymore. I mean, right. It was a different time in the 70s, absolutely. But Rocky beat Taxi Driver and All the President's Men and Network. And so you could say that it didn't even deserve the win, but it did. It was the underdog story of its year. It came out during the bicentennial of America. It was, timing's kind of everything. I mean, nowadays, the top grossing movie, I mean, Avengers, doesn't even get nominated for anything. So, I mean, it's rare to have that line up. So, I mean, I could totally see it winning in terms of just a fan favorite slash, you know, good reviews, too.
All right. Well, ultimately, it's up to you folks. So you got to get on WTOP.com and vote. You have until 6 p.m. Sunday to get in your votes for the final, and then the final will be decided in a vote on Monday. Rob Woodfork here with Noah Frank and Jason Fraley. Thanks for listening, thanks for voting, and certainly keep WTOP.com sports page among your favorites.